As I was praying with these readings on Monday morning, I noticed the number of references to baptism and confirmation that were in them. They were quite a few. In the first reading from the book of Revelation, we hear how St. John heard the angel from the east cry out to the other four angels, "Do not damage the land or the sea or the trees until we put the seal on the foreheads of the servants of God." You will remember that when a Catholic is confirmed after baptism, his or her forehead is sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit and the sacred chrism. And when an infant is baptized, the crown of his or her head is sealed with that same sacred chrism. St. John goes on to say in our passage from Revelation, "I heard the number of those who had been marked with the seal, 144,000, marked from every tribe of the children of Israel." We know that there are now approximately 1.3 billion Catholics worldwide, as well as many other Christians whose baptism we also understand as valid. This is akin to that symbolically very large number of 144,000 mentioned in this scripture. John then says, "They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands." In the rite of baptism, just after the baptism itself and the anointing, the presiding priest or deacon says to the child, "You have become a new creation and have clothed yourself in Christ. May this white garment be a sign to you of your Christian dignity. With your family and friends to help you by word and example, bring it unstained into eternal life." Now, just one last example of all these baptismal references, this one from the first letter of St. John, our second reading, where it says, "Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God, yet so we are." Again, in the rite of baptism, just before the Lord's Prayer is recited, the presiding priest or deacon says, "Dear brothers and sisters, these children reborn through baptism are now called children of God, for so indeed they are." I wanted to point out all these baptismal references in order to show that we have the same starting point and the same divine gifts as the saints in heaven whom we honor on this All Saints Day. These readings really have much to do with hope, the Christian virtue by which we hold fast to the promises, no matter how unimaginable or otherworldly they may seem, that God has given to those who love him and those who are baptized into his Son. Now, you may remember that the late Pope Benedict XVI wrote his first three encyclicals on the three supernatural virtues, faith, hope, and charity. But he did them in a different order than we may have expected. He did love first, for God is love, Deus Caritas Est, he called it, because everything begins and ends in love. Next, he treated hope rather than faith, for as he wrote in paragraph 2 of that encyclical, Spe Salvi, "In Hope We Were Saved," a distinguishing mark of Christians is the fact that they have a future. It is not that they know the details of what awaits them, but they know in general terms that their life will not end in emptiness. That's a very important statement to remember. A distinguishing mark of us Christians is that we have a future. We don't know exactly what it will be or how it will be, but it will be. Our lives won't end in nothingness. Our second reading today proclaims this very boldly when it says, "Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." I think sometimes people's expectations of heaven are far too low, and therefore their hope is not as strong as it should be. A strong hope can strengthen faith, and it can also strengthen love. Pope Benedict wrote in Spe Salvi, "Perhaps many people reject faith today because simply they do not find the prospect of eternal life all that attractive. What they desire is not eternal life at all, but this present life, for which faith in eternal life seems something of an impediment. To continue living forever endlessly appears more like a curse than a gift. The point is that eternal life is not a mere prolongation of this existence, but rather the blissful completion of life that we don't even know yet. We don't know yet how good it will be. So the Church gives us this special celebration of All Saints' Day to strengthen our hope in what our future is and why it matters to us now. The Church has canonized so many thousands of saints from every time and place, every ethnicity, vocation, and walk of life. They all acted on hope that they had in God's promises. And they are like us in that they were born from the same womb of the Church that is the baptismal font. They receive the same nourishment for spiritual growth that is the body and blood of Jesus and the Word of God. And they all had to grow in their Christian discipleship, following our Lord's Beatitudes and all of His teaching, just as we do. The saints whom we honor today brought their white baptismal garments after everything that had happened in their lives, unstained, into eternal life. Now, unstained doesn't mean they didn't have to struggle against sin as we do. They did. The only sinless one we know was the Blessed Virgin. But those saints washed their white robes in the blood of the Lamb over and over, as the book of Revelation proclaims. These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So let us keep our baptismal robes white by washing them repeatedly in the blood of the Lamb through the sanctifying action of His sacraments and by following our Christian vocation to the very end. And let us continue to follow the example and ask the intercession of all of our friends in heaven, the saints, who look forward to our joining them one day.